It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins After Dark. 145, where are we at in society? You'll just have to stay tuned to find out. At Flex 30, we welcome Zach Lucero back in studio for some high school sports talk. In a mere minutes, I am chatting with Earthquake the Comedian, who is in town for some shows at Cap City Comedy Club. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass. Sitting across from me, nobody this hour. That's because Chad Hastings on vacation, Bucky Godbolt getting on with his day. Just a reminder that coming up at 2 o'clock, it is the Shirts and Skins Fantasy Football Season Preview. Going to be joined in studio by Adam Wagner, of course, the host of The Wagner Wire. And another one of my good friends, Mike Minnick. He is a first responder in Fort Hood. He's actually a fireman out there and a guy that I regularly play volleyball with who is passionate about fantasy football. He knows his stuff. Can't wait for that conversation. First thing I got to ask those guys is, who is the second best player in fantasy football this year? The consensus is Jonathan Taylor at number one. There's no question about that. I'm seeing way too many rankings that have Christian McCaffrey as the number two guy.
He is, oh my God,
an enormous injury risk, Zay. I don't get it. I understand if the guy hypothetically plays all 17 games, the chances of that are next to none, though. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance he plays and is productive the first month in the season and then has to miss the final 3 months.
Well, that's the thing, Trey. The way he plays makes him a liability in the first place because they use him all over the field. Sometimes he's lined up as a receiver. Sometimes he's catching in the backfield. Clearly he's running in between the tackles. Sometimes they give him tall sweeps. They'll put him anywhere that he could be good. And he is a great player when healthy, but like you said, these last few seasons, he just hasn't been able to stay out the tub. So I couldn't take him at number two. I know Derrick Henry got hurt last year, but and it's tough. After Jonathan Taylor, it gets a little grimy.
I think my number two guy right now, and again, we'll have an extended conversation on this after 2 o'clock. My number two guy right now may be Justin Jefferson. Like, I would have no problem taking a productive receiver right there. So anyhow, we'll talk more about that coming up in an hour. Right now, though, let's go to the Vaqueros Hotline and welcome Earthquake to the show. That's right, Earthquake the Comedian. He's also an actor and radio personality. You can hear his show, Quake's House, on Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio, Sirius XM Channel 96, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And you can see him perform stand-up at the newly reopened Cap City Comedy Club in the Domain tonight. Tomorrow night, two shows both nights. Also has a show on Sunday night as well. Tickets at CapCityComedy.com or TheRealEarthquake.com. Quake, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
I am so blessed, man. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. The honor's all mine. I do have to admit, though, while I'm mostly doing well, I'm dealing with a bit of an existential parental crisis right now because last night I was cooking dinner. You have three kids, right?
Yeah, I had three of them.
Three of them. Okay, so I've got two kids of my own. They're 7 and 5. And so last night I was on the verge of making dinner for the family, and my five-year-old son told me that he just wanted his carrots raw. And so I said, oh, you want your carrots raw like Bugs Bunny? And he's like, who's Bugs Bunny? So at that point, I realized that I'd kind of failed as a parent. So what I did is I showed him and his seven-year-old sister a Bugs Bunny cartoon before dinner. The good news of that, Quake, is that that's going to be the most enthusiastic they ever eat a raw carrot in their lives. The bad news is that they've now been exposed to 1940s cartoon Japanese minstrelsy, unfortunately.
I'm surprised they found it even amusing or entertaining with our cartoons, because I try to introduce mine to my children. They're like, this ain't good.
That's, you know, there was a little bit of that reaction too, unfortunately. We started to watch a Porky Pig cartoon after that, and they're like, what in the world is going on right now? But that's neither here nor there. I'm excited that you're coming to Austin on Thursday through Sunday. I know you've been here in the last year because you've been on Rogan's podcast. Have you spent much time performing stand-up in Austin, though?
No, not at all. I'm looking forward to it. Never been to this club before. Yes, I came down to see Joe. Me and Joe are friends, and I'm looking forward to it. I hear so much about the city. And, You know, everybody says a beautiful city. You know, when I used to live in Houston, they're like, you got to go to Austin. Oh, it's beautiful. It's got the LA over the mountains and it's cool and everything. All I knew about it was University of Texas.
That's right. You lived in Houston. When were you in Houston?
I lived in Houston all the way up until the pandemic, 2021.
Okay. What did you love about H-Town?
The state of Texas, no state taxes.
That's fair. As far as Austin is concerned, you're going to be at Cap City Comedy Club, and this is a venue that is pretty famous amongst comedians because it's been a great place to come perform for a long time now. Well, the Helium people just reopened Cap City in a much nicer part of town. And I got to tell you, as somebody who is a big fan of the old place, the new venue blows the old one out of the water. Went and saw Jeff Ross there last weekend. It was my first time to experience the place. You're in for a real treat. And the other thing about Austin too, Quay, because you're probably well aware from Rogan and some other people moving down here now, Austin is really starting to turn into a stand-up mecca, an epicenter for the art form, and really not having to deal with a whole lot of the BS that you do with places like the Comedy Store now out in LA and the Hollywood scene that comes along with that. So it's really purely about the comedy here, and there are a lot of people looking to laugh too.
Oh, that's great to hear. You know, I love the art form, of course. It's a great art form. And, you know, I really get upset when people try to infringe on the right of any comedian to say what he feels.
Yeah, we're in a unique time for stand-up. You're obviously friends with Dave Chappelle. He produced the Netflix special that came out for you earlier this year. And a number of other guys who have had to deal with this idea of cancel culture. Some people don't think that cancel culture is real, though. Where do you stand with all of that? This concept of cancel culture and trying to nix people for maybe saying something on stage that's intended to be funny that some just take offense to.
Well, it's real. I just refuse to participate in it. I think certain people, and then we have a segment of our population, just wakes up in the morning looking to be offended. And that's what we're dealing with. So that's the main thing is certain people just want to be offended. I tell my colleagues, man, do you, and allow the circumstances to stand where they stand.
One gentleman who seems uncancelable is the very funny Donnell Rawlings. I spoke with him a few months back. You're going to be on tour with him coming up here pretty soon, starting in Houston, I believe, at the end of this month. And it's interesting to think about you, Donnell Rawlings, Martin Lawrence, Dave Chappelle. Obviously, there are so many funny people who grew up or spent time around Washington, D.C. in their youth. What is it about D.C. that has helped to crank out so many funny people over the years?
D.C. is a city that you have to be brutally honest to live and survive. And we deal with the truth. And any discrepancies that you have, we bring them to your attention. And you have to defend yourself with them. So that's what people always ask me. Why are comedians so great in D.C.? We have a farm system when we're kids. We call it joning, or just talking about each other when we was young. And it just raises some of the greatest comedians ever to walk this earth.
Just trash talking. You got to grow that thick skin, and you have to be too quick to respond as well, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. You pinpointed exactly. Trash talking, facts driven, discrepancy, risen, you know, all of those adjectives.
So much like Donnell, you also served in the Air Force throughout the 1980s. You end up honorably discharged in the early 1990s for something that's very commendable. You disagreed with the Middle East invasion going on there at the time. How did serving in the military for 11 years impact your life, Quake?
It let me know. It let me know. D.C. is very segregated. It's very African American. That's why they call it Chocolate City. And the military did to me, let me know the world is big other than the geographical location I live. But more than that, it exposed me to people that I would have never been exposed to had I not went in the military. And it gave me a worldly view that we have more things together in common than we do separate, you know, because I had a white roommate and he ate more fried chicken than any black man I ever met in my life. I mean, he ate buckets and buckets of Kentucky fried chicken. And I was like, Timmy, Lord have mercy. He said, have you tasted the biscuits? I said, yes, Timmy, but not 12 of them. So, I mean, he was, and that let me know, man, we all the same. We got more in common than we have different. And he was one of my best friends. He was from Alabama, and I mean, he ate fried chicken like no black man ever have and ever will.
Now, you have to take anything you read on the internet with a grain of salt, but was it correct what I read on, I think, Wikipedia last night, that you actually quasi-performed stand-up for the first time while also in the military during some sort of talent show?
Yeah, I was trying to get out of work because I was a terrible soldier. I did MC with this thing called Tops and Blues. And it was more or less trying to get out of work than trying to find a career. But that's what happened. It found me another way, something to do. And because my career is like that, it was no epiphany. It was just the best decision that day, and no better decision has came his way. That's all. And I owe that to the Air Force also.
Hmm. So obviously you've done some great things in stand-up, also in acting, voice acting. You're obviously a radio host as well. And it's interesting to think about where stand-up is right now. We talked about the cancel culture, but there's also this weird dichotomy that exists between the comedian and the crowd right now, with individuals feeling empowered to go up on stage if something is said that they disagree with. Have you ever had to deal with an unruly audience member trying to come at you like Will Smith did Chris Rock at the Oscars earlier this year?
Yeah, I had them come up, but they don't come up. They know I'm from Africa, and that mic stand is a javelin. And I show them what it is. You know, it's very hard to run up there if you got a mic stand in your in your lungs. So no, my crowd mostly has been tame. God bless. Thank God. But I had a couple of people run up, but they wasn't violent.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that mic stand gives you about an extra 4 feet of reach, and it also, the stand itself weighs about 15 to 20 pounds at the base, so that's gonna hurt if it hits you in the lung or the head.
Yeah, but you want to do it like a javelin. See, I'm so good, I should be in the Olympics because I know how to thrust it right in there. Like I was from Wonderconda. Yeah. And it's hard for you to run up there if that's in your rib.
What did you think of Will Smith and what he did to Chris Rock? Obviously, you're friends with Chris, having worked on his show in the past. Was that upsetting to you to see that play out?
No, because I mean, it was upsetting that Will would do that because I kind of like Will, you know, I kind of know him, but you know, I gave him an excuse. It's just an example of what happens when a man loves a woman that doesn't love him. So I'm never surprised when that dynamic is brought to surface, because it's nothing that a man won't do for a woman that he loves. And it's very tragic if he loves her and it's not reciprocated back, and that's what it was, and you'll keep trying to prove it, and that was just the tipping point.
One more bit of internet fact check, if you don't mind. I've seen two different versions of how you got the name Earthquake. So how did you get the name Earthquake, Quake?
The truth part of it is I named myself Earthquake just in case this journey of comedian being a comic didn't come to fruition and I wasn't good at it. I didn't want to mess up my good name. So if something happened, you know, if I didn't become successful, God forbid, was terrible at it. Somebody say, hey, Earthquake. I say, hey, who's Earthquake? My name is Nathaniel Stroman. I don't know no Earthquake. They're like, you are Earthquake. No, I am not, sir. My name is Nathaniel Stroman.
Why'd you settle on Earthquake?
I have a friend back in the day used to make bad decisions in his life, and he was my litmus test. I went to him and say, hey, man, I'm thinking about changing my name to Earthquake to be do comedy. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Hey, no way I'd do that. So I always go to the opposite when people make bad decisions. I say, thank you for the confirmation.
Does anybody in your life call you Nathaniel?
No, they usually call me, my mother used to call me that when it was time for me, for her to whoop my ass. But most people call me either Nate or my nickname, Pooey, or Stroman.
Okay, and are you, do you live out in California right now?
Yes, I just dropped my son off for work right now, and I live in Los Angeles.
Cool. So I assume you've been in an earthquake before. What's the worst earthquake you've ever been in?
I was in my first one. I think it was in the 90s, oh, in the 2000s, I think. And I thought the world was, it was, it's a strange thing to have the earth move up under you. And I was at that time smoking a blunt, and I ran outside, and I was high, and I seen cracks in the concrete. And I thought the world, I'm still thinking it from the fictitious that you see in movies, that the world will open up and swallow you up. I'm like, oh Lord, look, it's cracking and everything. But it was just regular crack in the pavement that usually be in here. But it's very strange. And my condo is on a is foundation is on rollers, so the whole building just rolled. It was very strange. I was playing Street Fighter, smoking a blunt, and I'm like, did this building just move? And I went outside, and everybody else was outside, and then I see the crack, man. I started running. Y'all better save yourself. The world gonna get us. And that was my first one. But now I take it like a soldier.
I'm guessing that's the last time you played with Ryu on Street Fighter.
Yeah, Ryu was the one. I stay with the little Chinaman now. Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can.
Oh, you can. Yeah, got to hit the old you can on it.
Did people coming up to you with earthquake jokes after that get pretty old pretty fast?
No, people, I'm not the type that people just come and just tell jokes to, you know. So my demeanor gives them the some for some reason an unwelcome approach. You know what I mean? So like, nah, we ain't gonna talk to this guy.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, really, a lot of people don't, you know, my mannerism gives them the impression that I'm not that approachable. About a
Oh.
scrawl had to be on my face.
Oh, you suffer from the same affliction that I do. You've got resting face. Is that what it is?
I don't know about that, but I know it means don't come over here with that bullshit.
All right, last thing, Earthquake. For anybody who's considering going to checking you out at Cap City Comedy Club this Thursday through Sunday, tickets at capcitycomedy.com. You can also go to therealearthquake.com to snag those tickets. What can they expect out of your show?
Oh man, 100% ignorant. I mean, always been the most intelligent comic you would get from an ignorant point of view. Constant joke back to back. If you need to see it, as you said previously, check out my special produced by the great Dave Chappelle on Netflix right now. You won't hear none of those jokes, but you'll see exactly what you're dealing with. And I'm a very funny guy, and I look forward to coming down to Austin and being in Cap City Comedy Club. Please get your tickets.
Hey, speaking of, Dave Chappelle is one of my all-time favorites. What do you love about Dave Chappelle?
His realness, his toughness, his non just refuse to bend down to the will of other people. I mean, his strength is outstanding. It's to be admired. You know what I mean? And he doesn't compromise. And I think too many people around now, some people need to compromise. But when you come to the art that we're doing, it's jokes, and jokes are subjective, and people have to take that in consideration. What's funny to you might not be funny to somebody else, but the person that's funny too need to hear it, even if it's not funny or offensive to you. Who are you to say that person don't need to hear that joke and get that laughter and that medicine that comes with it? And he believes in that, and I believe in that.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit for this. Obviously, he is one of, if not the best comedian of this generation, but he's also, more importantly, one of the most profound humanitarians of the last 20 years now, too.
True, true. He has a big heart, and he's a great person. He's a better person than he'll ever be a comedian.
Well said. He is Earthquake, the comedian, actor, and radio personality. You can hear his show, Quake's House, on Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio, Sirius XM Channel 96, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And you can see the stand-up at the newly reopened Cap City Comedy Club here in Austin in the Domain this Thursday, August 11th through Sunday, August 14th. Tickets at capcitycomedy.com and therealearthquake.com. Quake, thank you so much for the time today. Best of luck. Safe travels this weekend.
Thank you, man, and I love you. Keep it strong, man. I hope to meet you when I come down to Austin.
And, of course, the Thursday show happened last night. Still two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, and a show on Sunday. Again, capcitycomedy.com. Coming up, it's Flex 30. Zach Lucero in studio with me talking about some of the biggest high school football matchups in the area in week one. That includes a couple of Cedars going up against one another. This is Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation on the Horn.
Move it up, son. Word. Yeah. To all the and $100 billers. Yo, your eyes for real. You ain't got no feelings. Feelings.
I got this. Just watch my back. I got your foot. Yo.
Check it out now. Official Queensbridge. Tomorrow comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got enough to share for all those who wanna profile and pose. Rock you in your face, your brain with your nose bone. You all alone in these streets, cousin. Every man for himself in his land. We be
back here on Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation. Zach Lucero hanging out this segment for Flex 30. Before that, though, need to figure out the good music that Zay is playing. Zach, you have any guesses here?
Say, is this you?
Whoa.
Yo, I wish that I wouldn't be in this seat right now. I'd be on tour.
Yeah.
This is a hit.
I don't know who it is.
I mean, it's a New York City-based artist.
Correct.
Sounds a little bit like a Young Nas. I don't think that's who it is, though. Who is this?
You know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because these guys are from Queens. This is Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep. Not as familiar with them. I know a lot of people who love them, though.
Yeah, that rapper first was Prodigy.
Really?
Prodigy and Havoc.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different Prodigy. I'm thinking of Break the Pressure.
Wow.
That's not a rapper at all.
Sound like Cypress Hill.
Well, no. Probably a little bit closer to Cypress Hill. He was just a psychopath from 1990s music. All right. It is a little bit after 1:30. Means it's time for Flex 30.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the Horn and go to FLXATX.com.
All right, Flex 30. We're going to say it's brought to you by Flex ATX because the guy sitting across from me is an instrumental part of Flex ATX. That would be one Zach Lucero. Zach, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to be here.
Always good to have you in studio, helping out when Chad is gone. And you had a great idea as we were talking about what to discuss today, and that is going down some of the best local matchups for week one of the high school football season.
Yeah, me and Snoop kind of talked about this. We he did one of those Twitter spaces the other day. We carried around 50 people in there, and one of the questions that was posed was, like, if you're a local person wanting to go to a game, and not go to Arlington and watch Lake Travis against Arlington Martin, but if you want to just locally go to a game, who's the game to see?
And so you guys came up with six games, it seems like, at least based on this list I have in front of me. Starting with, well, I guess technically it's not my neck of the woods because of where the game is, but Cedar Park at Cedar Ridge?
Yeah. So Cedar Ridge, both of these schools have guys on our all-flex watch list. Malik Cousins is a defensive lineman for Cedar Ridge, and Reed Vines is a linebacker for Cedar Park. I think this is a winnable game for Cedar Park. This is a 5A school playing a 6A school in Cedar Ridge. But both of these schools are kind of known for having the guy at quarterback. You know about him. And that's not really the case this year. It's a guy named Aiden Arp for Cedar Park this year who actually moved over from linebacker to the quarterback position. And then for Cedar Ridge, it's a guy named Aiden Liston that hasn't really got, like, the big defense or D1 opportunities like some of the other Cedar Ridge guys has. So I think because of that, because maybe this being a little bit of down year for both of those programs, it should be a really interesting game.
The next matchup I consider to be the Elling v. Collier matchup, Vista Ridge versus Bowie. I know nothing about Vista Ridge or Bowie, but what can you tell us?
This one should be fun. I mean, Bowie's a team that I think is kind of reinvigorated this year because you add Dripping Springs, and all of a sudden they're the team that's not Lake Travis and Westlake that everybody's talking about. It used to be Bowie. It used to be you talk about Lake Travis, you talk about Westlake, and then the shoe-in for that third playoff spot was Bowie. But Dripping Springs is kind of reshaping that narrative. Snoop was out there the other day. Bowie scrimmaged Maynard, and Bowie had a tough time with Quentin Joyner, that running back that we talked about. Mm-hmm. But Zay was saying, I think a lot of teams are going to have a tough time with him.
That's a USC commitment?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He had 2,500 yards last year. Mm-hmm. Jackson Harrell, the quarterback for Vista Ridge, was the baseball MVP of that district this past season. So he'll be fun to watch, slinging all over the place. And then Bowie has a couple of guys. They have a running back, Max Barnes is his name. He's like a bulldozer running back, big, strong white dude. And then the quarterback, Connor Kenyon, is on our all-flex watch list, as well as the defensive back, Wesley York, for Bowie.
How about Stony Point at Austin High? Another intriguing week one matchup here in the area.
I think if you're just locally and you see the names of these two schools, you're like, why should I care about this matchup? But I think this is the most pressure or the most expectation that Stony Point has had on them in a really long time. Braylon James, the receiver committed to Notre Dame, 4-star, one of the top, I think he's the top player in the area. Running back Cameron Cook just committed to TCU, one of the top running backs in the area, not named Quentin Joyner. Both of these guys finally linking up and being a part of that Stony Point offense. This is a school that hasn't necessarily been where like old school Stony Point has been back in the day. But I think if you continue to really not do that with those guys on the team, I think you're going to start to question some of the Stony Point guys. But Austin High, another program that's rebuilding, first-year head coach, Coach Rosenthal, left to go help his son train for volleyball in California, just committed to Hawaii. He's like a 6'7 setter.
That's a good place to go train.
Yeah, so Stony Point versus Austin High. I think you go to this one to see if Stony Point can put it all together.
Now, Stony Point, this is embarrassing. I don't know if I've ever seen Stony Point in high school before. That's either in or around Round Rock
somewhere. It's a Round Rock High School, yes.
Okay.
Sir.
Next matchup is Maynard versus LBJ. Of course, LBJ came oh so close to a state championship last year. Looks like they're going to be good once again, and Maynard does have some kids who showed up on that Flex ATX all preseason team, too.
Yeah, both of these schools do. We talk about Quentin Joyner, a couple of defensive linemen for Maynard, both of them going Division One, and Prince Will, Uman Mielin, and Jaden Cofield, who's committed to Texas Tech. But both of these schools are transitioning up a classification, LBJ moving from 4A to 5A, and Maynard moving from 5A to 6A. So I think just given that, you got to give Maynard the upper hand. But I think if LBJ can really perform well, either win this game or keep it close or be competitive in playing against a school that's way bigger than them, I think that'll give LBJ a lot of confidence coming into the season.
Vandegrift, another traditionally good school, and then Dripping Springs, who we've obviously talked a lot about on these airwaves. Chad has a weird high school crush on the starting quarterback, Austin Novoside, for Dripping Springs, who is legitimate. He is a really good talent, all seriousness. Chad was one of the first to really talk about Austin Novoside, and this is a big test for both of those schools in week one.
Yeah, I think that's why Chad's out of town, is because Coach Zimmerman was on the afternoon show with Craig yesterday, so Chad was like, I don't want to be nowhere near that. But I think this is the matchup in the area. Dripping Springs moving up from 5A to 6A, and they get tested right out of the gate against Vandegrift. Vandegrift, another quarterback that I think is going to go Division One, committed to Baylor right now for baseball, is Braden Buchanan, who's also on our all-flex watch list. Vandegrift's made it to the state quarterfinals 2 years in a row, and Dripping Springs, like I said, their first year in 6A. I think this is the matchup. If someone's not doing anything on Friday, and you have to go online to get tickets now, you can't just go up to the window.
What?
Yeah, COVID. If someone's just looking for a game to go to, it's Dripping Springs at Vandegrift.
And Round Rock and Vice, or Weiss as they call it locally.
Yeah, Germany Vice versus Round Rock High School. Weiss is Snoop's, one of Snoop's favorite programs right now. I think they're big time on the rise. Their coach, we had Chase Griffin, who's a quarterback at UCLA, just raves about Coach Steven Van Meter, who's at Weiss now. Tons and tons of D1 talent, got littered with all flex watch list guys, as is Round Rock. But another program is Weiss that's moving up from 5A to 6A. They're in a district that's not super Austin-centric. It's like Coppers Cove and Temple. So it'll be nice to see them face some local area schools to start the season. But again, this is one of those matchups that I think we'll learn a lot about how these teams are going to perform throughout the season in week one.
Slight change of pace, but we talked yesterday about how high school volleyball tournament season is really starting to get going right around now. You checking out any tournaments this weekend?
Yeah, there's a big one going on. There's two really big ones that local programs are in. There's one at Westwood High School that I think me and Snoop might go check out, and then there's one in Pearland in the Houston area. But that Westwood tournament has already produced some pretty big upsets. Vandergriff High School, who's kind of turned themselves into a volleyball powerhouse, a middle blocker committed to LSU, a setter committed to Dartmouth, lost a match yesterday to Buda Johnson, a school that's moving from like Dripping Springs and like Weiss, moving from 5A to 6A. So that's the cool thing about these tournaments is, yeah, they mean a lot, and yeah, you're facing some guys that you could face in district and playoffs. But it's still kind of getting the kinks out, and you'll see teams dropping sets or dropping matches to maybe people that they shouldn't, but they're still kind of trying to figure out their rotations and who's going to play what, and really kind of iron sharpens iron before the district season starts.
Love that saying there. Last question, Zach. You a fantasy football player?
I am.
Okay, so the consensus number one pick this year for everybody is Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Who was your number two ranked player? If you had the second draft pick or the second overall pick in your draft, who are you going with?
Not Christian McCaffrey. I've been burned way too many times.
Yes, everybody has. I don't understand why people are still ranking him number two.
I think I might pull a Davante Adams.
See, receiver might be smart there because running backs are so fragile.
Yeah.
And there was a list running last year. It was like halfway through the season. I want to say it was like 75% of first and second round picks were hurt at that point in time, many of whom were missing multiple weeks. So I think, if anything, the wide receivers were able to stay on the field a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. And I think who's the quarterback? Who's the first quarterback off the board for you?
I think it probably needs to be Josh Allen. I think there's an argument to be made for Pat Mahomes, mostly because it is Pat Mahomes, and I'm probably going Josh Allen first and foremost. My league is finally switching to 6-point touchdown passes. It's been four for the last few years, but
I mean, you might got to go quarterback pretty
early.
We
need these
there.
Elite throwers to start pacing the point totals of these mediocre dual threat quarterbacks who pick up garbage time points. I'm looking at you, Jalen Hurts, and end up as one of the top quarterbacks in the league as a result. Like a quarterback who's not a very good thrower but gets 70 to 80 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown or two. I mean, that guy's scoring well for you.
Yeah, two touchdown rushing is worth the points of a quarterback having like an all-time day through the air.
Exactly. Zach, thank you so much for helping out this week. We will talk to you again next Friday when Chad is out once again.
Yes, sir. Thank you again.
You got it. Coming up, it is Where Are We At in Society? Apparently, a woman flashed a white privilege card after being pulled over. She got let go. And now that officer is in trouble. Zay and I'll talk about coming up next. Shirts and Skins on the Horn. Back here on Shirts and Skins, Chad Hastings, still on vacation, still pouring concrete in Cisco. Terrible decisions made at this radio station. That's a pretty bad one for him, but he is helping his dad, so we'll give him a pass. In the meantime, Zay helping to hold things down. That includes continuing to play great music coming out of commercial breaks. If I'm wrong about this one, I'm wrong, I guess. This is Freddie Mercury and Queen, correct?
You're right.
Never heard this song before. I like the sound, though.
You haven't heard this song?
No. What is it?
I want to break free.
This isn't We Are the Champions or Fat Bottomed Girls. I mean...
Yeah, but it's still a hit.
It's like a middling hit for them. It's not Bicycle Song.
I'm not saying you're going to hit us at any weddings anytime soon, but yeah, it's a hit.
Boy, that is a ballsy move to play this at a wedding.
Either you want to be free?
Yeah. Either you calling for it as the bride or groom, or the DJ just playing it on his own volition.
Yo, I be hearing at weddings, oh, skeet, 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 by Little John. So anything goes.
That's
anything
true.
Goes.
Yeah, that's always a weird one to see the grandparents dancing to that song.
Yeah, seeing Pops do the twist to Little John. Ow!
I used to skeet shoot back in the day. Grandpa, that's not what he's talking about. Sorry. I'm not going to tell you what exactly he's talking about, but it's not that, I assure you.
Skeet shooting's fun. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that sort of skeet shooting is, yeah. All right, it is just after 1:45, means it's time for Where Are We At in Society.
Where are we at in society today?
Brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. We at the Elling household, we love Jake and his crew. They make our lawn look great every couple of weeks. When the bushes need trimming, they help out with that. The trees as well. Occasionally, they'll pour some mulch when it gets into the springtime. They'd love to help you out with all of that and more. Get yourself on the schedule, slplawncare.com. Zay, I've always mocked the idea of the man card. It is ridiculous. So you lose your man card because you are not stereotypically male in some form or fashion. But the man card looks legit compared to this card that was apparently pulled by a woman in Alaska and has now not only gotten her, but also some cops who allowed this nonsense to pass in trouble. A woman apparently flashed a white privilege card after getting pulled over for speeding a little while back around Anchorage, Alaska. Pulled the white privilege card.
So what, she flashed her Costco card?
Chick-fil-A card, actually. Chick-fil-A card, okay?
Oh, man, you set me up. That was a fastball right down the middle.
That was well done. Knocked it out of the park. Well, two Anchorage police officers accepted the white privilege card as a good enough reason to let this woman go. And unfortunately for this woman and for these police officers, but fortunately for the sanity of society, they have gotten in trouble for this. Because she wasn't ticketed. They let her go. Here's the problem, though. These officers, while they may be in trouble, it's not clear if they violated any sort of policy versus the policy of just human decency. So these guys have been placed on paid leave, so they're getting a vacation for this, while the department figures out what, if anything, should be done to these guys for, I don't even know if you call it falling prey to this joke or going along with the joke, but this woman who is a hardcore pro-Trumper who has plenty of pictures taken at Trump rallies,
yeah,
and now has something called a white privilege card, has gotten these guys in trouble. By the way, she was pulled over for weaving in a lane and was pulled over by the Driving Enforcement Unit. They conducted this traffic stop a little bit more than a month ago on July 7th. And she pulled the card. She gets let go. So what do you think should be done to these guys, if anything?
It depends. How hot's this woman?
Not. Here's the other...
Take their badge.
Here's the other strange thing about this. I don't want to get technical here, but she looks Inuit. What they used to call Eskimo. Like, she doesn't look white.
Right.
Is that... I mean, does that add to the joke? Does that make the joke a little bit better that she's pulling the white privilege card despite the fact that she's not technically Caucasian?
I mean, I think it's bogus to be pulled over for something. Did she harm anybody? It was just...
weaving in her lane.
Weaving in the lane.
So the potential, especially in Alaska, the potential... My guest coming up next hour can attest to that. Lots of drinking going on in Alaska.
Oh, really?
So there's the potential for some drunk driving going on.
I mean, I guess you got to drink since, like, what? There's no nighttime?
Yeah, always, this is the time of year where you maybe get like 30 minutes of darkness.
Yeah, you got to drink yourself to sleep. It makes sense.
Oh, alcoholism runs rampant in the Great Northwest, in Alaska, when you really are far removed from much of civilization. And it gets super depressing, especially in the wintertime. The alcoholism really rears its ugly head in winter.
You lived in Oregon for how long?
I lived in Oregon for a little bit more than a year. Now, in Oregon, the issue probably had a little bit more to do with the smoking of cannabis.
Ah.
Because it's so wonderfully good and relatively cheap there.
Oh, but yeah, Alaska, I got a homie from Oregon. He can't wait to tell me about all the deals he finds. I'm like, oh, say, happy hour's amazing down here. I'm like, oh, lucky you.
Oregon's gone off the deep end with all that stuff. I mean, they've made just about everything legal now in Oregon, which, as I like to call Oregon, it is the state with a bunch of gun-toting hippies. It is a walking contradiction, but it's worked for Oregon up to this point. We'll see how well it continues to work in the coming years.
Yeah, I'm surprised they pulled the gas little law, but they needed to pull that a long time ago. Be independent, Oregonians. I don't know what they call those people, but they need to be way more independent. That's an absolute joke that they had that for whoever made that lazy-ass rule.
Oregon and either New Jersey or Massachusetts also had that rule. God, I always made fun of it, too, and people were like, no, you don't understand.
Understand
those
what?
People need jobs. I'm like, you guys have a bunch of fast food places around here. Don't make it seem like somebody who's qualified to pump gas at a station is not qualified to go flip burgers or pull fries from the grease pit at McDonald's.
I'll never shame anybody from working fast food. That's a grind, and you never know anybody's situation. But the gas, though, the gas, and they probably smoking a cigarette while they pumping it, too. I'm just assuming if you're as low ball to do that, to you probably, you know, token something. But it just seems a little bit, I don't know.
I'll shame. So if you're an adult and you're working at a fast food place, I'll shame you a little bit.
Come on,
a little bit,
man.
It just depends on how long you've been working that station for. If you've been flipping burgers as an adult for like a year and a half, I'm going to have to shame you a little bit. You need to figure out a way to move up in that company.
They get promoted. I always see on the help wanted signs the promotions and what you could be later on and all the benefits. And they putting people through college and stuff like that. And people are ruling the world in some places. Yeah, McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and Wendy's, they can hook you up if you do it right.
Hell, there are people that work around here right now that can make more flipping patties at McDonald's. Going to cut meat at Rudy's. That's radio, baby. That's not just Austin Radio Network. That's the low person on the totem pole of just about any radio station across the country.
It's the grind, man.
It is the grind.
He is
Isaiah Collier helping me out. I'm over these last few days. That includes next hour when he's taking part in our fantasy football roundtable. We're getting you ready for the fantasy football season. That also includes Adam Wagner, host of the Wagner Wire, one of my good friends, Mike Minnick. He is a fireman up in Fort Hood and also a big-time football fan. He's wearing his Chargers jersey right now. Is Justin Herbert Chargers jersey. Find out what he thinks about Herbert. Austin Eckler and a whole lot more coming up on the other side. This is Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation right here on the Horn.